Ella is, she's like, it's like holding a tornado. It's like trying to hold a small human tornado. And it requires so much strength and like so much mobility. And it's like, she's not even mobile yet. And I'm like, dear goodness, like, I cannot keep up with this child. I need to get my ass in gear. Mm-hmm. And that has been the real awakening for me. It was like 2 weeks ago where I was like, all of a sudden, I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, mm-hmm. I am so challenged by just trying to keep up with her.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week, and we also appreciate it when you share the podcast with a friend, because we really know that that shows you care when you do that. And we know you're a true fan when you're sharing this with a friend, and it's really easy to do. Yes, I think you talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yes. I mean, in addition to sharing links to specific episodes, you can also go right into, let's say you're using the Apple Podcast app.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually share right from the Apple Podcast, right when you're in the episode. You can share the episode with a friend via text, email. It's very handy. I've done it many a times, and it was sent probably more people than actually want it, just random podcasts I'm listening to at the time.
Yeah. For sure. It's that easy. You can also just text them addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, because that's our website, and that has all the links for all the episodes that we're currently doing.
Super handy.
Mm-hmm. It also has another new feature, which we want to talk about real quick, because it is very important to us, because we're going to have you guys support the podcast by doing some Amazon shopping through the website. Amazon, I'm sure everybody uses it. I don't know who doesn't use it.
What's Amazon?
Yeah. Sarcasm. One of your strong points. Anyways.
It's a river.
How dare you. All right. So, yeah, you'll go see on our website now, we actually have a little Amazon banner there, kind of promoting specific products that we use on a regular basis, mostly health and fitness products, also some baby-related products, because we use a lot of those lately.
Yeah.
So, you guys can
test out those products, so might as well, you know, point you in the right direction.
Yeah, a lot of stuff we've done on the podcast, we've taste-tested mm-hmm. or tried on the podcast. You guys, if you click on that banner, you can actually go to Amazon, buy it yourself, try it yourself, and it gives us a little bit of a kickback to help support, you know, keep this little podcast that could run it. So, and we really appreciate that, guys. It's no extra charge to you, but it just gives us a little bit of a little kickback, which helps us keep it going, keep the podcast going.
Keep the magic flowing.
Right. Another thing, now that we're onto it, kind of getting into a segue for our listeners talk back section was the iTunes reviews, okay? We love iTunes reviews. We ask for them almost each week because they help us reach a broader audience. So when you go into your iTunes store or you're in your Apple Podcast app, you can leave the Addicted to Fitness podcast a review, and when you do, we will read it during our listeners talk back section. So right now we're going to read one of our latest podcast reviews. What is wrong with
listener reviews?
Listener reviews from iTunes. That is exactly right.
I have to say, I actually do, as a podcast listener, I really value the reviews that I see on mm-hmm. podcasts, and you can always tell when they're genuine or when they're like, you know, really sort of false, just filler kind of reviews. But that's what kind of sways me onto whether or not I subscribe to a channel or not.
No, I agree. And that's right. And that's kind of like when you see 5-star reviews, which Addicted to Fitness has all 5-star reviews, just saying. and then one from one of our friends, Lindsay Roberts, who's also an avid listener.
Yes, she is.
She said, love the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Shannon and Nick makes such a great team, offering up tons of information and tips and providing lots of laughs along the way. And that's really what we try to do. You know, yeah. We try to make it interesting, not only for you guys, but for us too.
Yeah, I mean, this is real life. We're not here to sell you anything specific. If we did, then, you know, it's an ad and it's clearly marked in our show. Yeah. But we're here to really just give you the honest feedback and tell you kind of what's being said in the world of health and fitness. So, mm-hmm. Lindsay, thank you so much. And we so appreciate the words of support and just sharing your feedback like that. And if anybody else out there does have some feedback for us, it doesn't always have to be a 5-star review. We do like criticism as well. It helps us grow. All right, so Nick doesn't, but I can value that. So feel free to leave your feedback in the reviews and really just let us know, like, what are you interested in? What do you want to hear more of? What do you like? What don't you like? So keep it coming. You could get your opportunity to be have your review read on air. What is that, like, the 15-second spotlight?
Yeah, that's right. That's for our listeners talk back section. I keep calling it section. Segment. Gosh darn it. Fudgernackle.
Fudgernackle. Don't make me laugh.
That's right.
I'm going to get lost.
So after our listeners talk back, we're going to jump into our training recap, which we actually skipped last week since we were doing our taste test. I'm going to get in and get out real quick because I want to throw it over to you because you have more training and recap than I do.
Which is rare.
Yeah, so my training recap kind of focuses on I'm getting a little bit more, I would say getting back to more group training. That was something that, that's how ETT started, was with group training. And
I remember those days.
Yeah, so out in the park, just training out on Davis Island, Sunday morning workouts.
Yep.
So now
a bunch of hungover people. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, sometimes. But it was that's how it started, and now it's I'm adding that back in. You know, it's moving away from the individual one-on-one clients, or you know, even semi-private clients I do at Tampa Strength. But I'm able to do a little more group classes.
I don't think you're like moving away. You're just adding kind of to your repertoire.
I guess that's a better way to describe it. Definitely not moving away. Just adding more into it. So it's at Tampa Strength, I have the stick mobility class, which is actually going really well. Getting actually kind of acquiring clients almost each week. So that's really cool. And that's a modality that I'll be doing the certification course in a few weeks. So
yeah,
we'll be
so interesting. I'm
really,
so
really hoping to bring the podcast there, trying to get in contact with some people there so we can do some podcasts from the actual course. And that's a really cool thing. And I'm glad because I'm able to develop curriculum kind of as I go.
Yeah.
Because it's so I guess, flexible. And I guess that's kind of a literal and figuratively. It's so flexible modality that you're able to almost kind of create your own exercises, you know. So that's why I really enjoy it. And then in addition to that, you guys know about Title Boxing. I'm doing my boxing classes there. But more so, I'm doing a group workout here in our very own neighborhood of Seminole Heights at the Essential Balance Wellness Center. That's if you guys remember that name, I actually interviewed the owner of that facility, who is a clinical hypnotherapist, Hayden Sutherland, way back last year on the Addicted to Fitness podcast. But I'm doing a group workout there once a week, and that class is filled up now. So it's a small group.
That's awesome.
Only about 6 people per workout because it's a small space, but it's filled up the last 3 weeks. And those are
the best classes, though. Like, I mean, as like someone who has taken group fitness classes, I like cherish those classes where the class was just small enough that you would get one-on-one instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you can like speak on the instructor's behalf, but on the participant, that's the gold.
No, I absolutely agree. That's the group class, the small group training, it's enough people to kind of get that group dynamic going, but also it's not big enough that you get lost in a number. It's not a numbers game anymore. So that's why I really enjoy it, and hopefully it's going to be becoming more of a recurring thing in my training. Because I like it, and I think it's a better way. It's not a better way, but it's definitely a method to help more people, which is kind of that idea that I've been putting out lately. Is my goal is to help more people, and I think that helps. That's a way to do it for sure. Yes. All right, so now I'm going to turn the training recap over to you because I believe you have some awesome training to recap.
Yeah, and I mean, for people who listen regularly, first of all, thank you, but you're going to realize I haven't actually had a training recap for quite a while. Like, I don't think I've had anything for over a month. And that is really because I've just been trying to keep, like, basic activity in my day. You know, if I can get in a little bit of stretching, a little bit of yoga, if I can get a walk in, like, that's great. That's considered a huge accomplishment. However, I feel like I finally have gotten to that point, like, and for all the moms out there, especially the first timers, did you experience this where, like, you really kind of embraced the softness that was you after having your baby? Like, you just are softer, you know, like you've got more what I call squish, maybe, possibly, but like everything's softer. You've just got less sharp edges after you have a baby. And it's because you're having to care for a baby, you're holding a baby, you know, like you're nursing possibly a baby. There's so many more aspects to you being softer all around and not being hard and, like, you know, ridiculously toned, where you're going to be, like, more comfortable for your child. So, like, that was my mentality, where I was like, I kind of embraced the fact that this is a time for me just to be soft, you know, just, like, squishy, whatever you want to call it. But then I finally feel like I've gotten to a point now where Ella is, she's like, it's like holding a tornado. It's like trying to hold a small human tornado. And it requires so much strength and so much mobility. And it's like,
she's human shake weight. That's what I like.
She's not even mobile yet. And I'm like, dear goodness, like, I cannot keep up with this child. I need to get my ass in gear. Mm-hmm. And that has been the real awakening for me. It was like 2 weeks ago where I was like, all of a sudden I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I am so challenged by just trying to keep up with her. And like I said, she's not even mobile yet. She's not, like, you know, taking off crawling or taking off walking. She will be.
Yeah.
And then what am I going to be? I'm going to be screwed. I'm going to be sitting there like the squishy girl is like, oh, what happened? No. So long story, I'll concise. I needed to refocus my efforts again. I needed to focus on being able to move my body because holding her is a workout. It requires strength, but it really requires that mobility. So I know that we've talked about this with your training. Like, you've been really focused on more of that functional movement. And it's absolutely something that I value more now. Like, I've always been a person that was really flexible, that, you know, had good just general tone and was reasonably strong just through regular activities. But now my body's gone through this completely different change, and I've had to completely reinvent what I am. And I mean, I've been trying to keep it balanced. So not just throwing myself back into HIIT workouts and like constant high intensity classes or anything like that. I've been really, really focused on the balance portion. So I do more yoga right now. That's really centered around creating that space in those key areas of my body that have really tightened up. Like, my hips are so tight now. I used to be able to do splits. I used to be able to, you know, all the crazy things like throw your leg over your shoulder. Okay. Like, I could do that. But I'm so much more constricted now. Everything has been like tightening over the last 8 months, and I feel like a different body. So I've been trying to focus on getting that space and that movement introduced back into those joints, really increase the range of mobility and be smart about how I'm adding strength back into the mix. So I only just last week started doing HIIT workouts for the first time in probably, I think, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I only do one a week. And then the other, like, higher intensity workouts I do or cardio workouts I do, I might do, like, that's where spinning comes in. So I'm trying to keep it really balanced on that front, really prioritizing. It's all about, like, the mobility, the flexibility, the very practical and, functional strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then having, like, the high intensity, you know, I'm not really worried about burning calories or, you know, losing weight or anything like that. I really just want to be able to keep up with this little energetic tornado of a child that I have and not feel like I'm restricted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a first time in a long time where I feel like kind of like I'm coming back off an injury or something where, you know, you kind of feel stiff.
Right.
You don't have quite that range. It's not your norm. It's sort of where I'm feeling I'm starting again.
Well, that's interesting because it kind of segues into our main topic of discussion. You're talking about, you know, you touched on it a little bit in that description for your recap, which I'm very proud of you. And I'm glad you got back into that routine. And I'm sure you're very happy you got back in the routine.
Yeah.
I know now there's probably another, I wouldn't say a new purpose, but an additional purpose to all the training now. It's basically try to keep up with our little Ella. I wanted to, and this was actually an idea, a podcast topic idea that one of our listeners gave us, was talk about your fitness journey. You know, I mentioned in my, you know, ETT and my personal fitness journey, how it got started on the podcast before. And I want to obviously hear yours too, or I want the listeners to hear yours too. So you talked about, you know, you used to be able to throw your leg over your shoulder or whatever like that. And you used to, you have experience with injuries from exercise or from sports or whatever. So I want to know a little bit more about how it all started, where you're addicted to fitness began.
This is, it's kind of like fitness, your interview.
Yeah.
Well, I will preface my story by saying I come from a very athletic family, a very fit family. Both of my parents were incredibly fit. Like, they are incredibly fit throughout everything. My dad has been a lifelong swimmer. And not just, you know, hey, I'm going to go do a couple laps. Like, he will swim miles. He's an incredibly powerful. People used to think my dad used to be a football player because he is just incredibly, like, broad-shouldered, very muscular guy. And now he's in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he still looks like he was a former football player.
He's got a bigger back than I do.
He was, like, growing up, he was just all muscle. Like, you walked into him, you would get hurt. I avoided walking into him because I would hurt myself. I mean, he was just like this solid wall. Then there was my mom, who was this petite, like, just super lean runner. You know, like, one of those runners that you could tell, like, that's what they did. Because they were just lean muscle. And she was super healthy eater. And she was just amazing, like, constant energy that as a child I just remember looking at going, like, where the heck do you get that? Like, I don't even think I can keep up with you. That was where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll skip over most of my childhood story and say there was some pressures to also be a certain level of physicality. I think that because the standards were being set by them, I was very aware and regularly reminded. My dad definitely did not mind telling me that I should be, you know, a certain appearance and fitness level and all of that. So I grew up relatively aware of the capabilities that I had. You know, I actually had pretty broad shoulders. I was pretty athletic from a kid. I was always in a sport. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to junior high, though, I was what you might call like the... I wasn't overweight, but I was like frumpy. Mm-hmm. I had some extra pounds on me for sure. I hadn't really hit my rhythm. I had like taken some years off after like always being in some kind of like sport. I bounced from like swimming to gymnastics to figure skating to basketball. I mean, like all these different things when I was younger, and then I just stopped. And I think I don't know why. I was just too paranoid, too self-conscious.
And this was middle school time?
This is like middle school. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered seeing myself in a photo and I was like, holy crap. Like, I was not where I wanted to be. And I was like, and this is in middle school, I was like a size 14. Mm-hmm. Which if you, for you know, you've known me since college, mm-hmm. I've been half that pretty much since college. And I tell people like, oh yeah, I used to be a size 14, and they're like, no. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, really I was. I had to find my thing. And who the heck would have imagined my thing? Here I was, like this kid who'd always been in some kind of sports. And it wasn't like easy sports. It wasn't like girly sports. I was probably pretty critical of this particular activity most of my life up until that point. But in high school, as a joke, I tried out for cheerleading. And I got on the squad. And I literally like had a moment where I was like, should I do this? But the people that I was trying out with at the time, they were super fun. And it was like, they made it sound like this was just some kind of like chill, easy thing. I knew I really wanted to find some kind of activity. I ended up falling in love with cheerleading because it was like everything I loved all in one. It was social, but it was also super focused. Now, I will also say we did competition cheerleading, which is, I would say, different than just, you know, cheerleading for your school at your, you know, a basketball game or football game or something. So we started with that, and then we got into competition, which was hardcore. And I accrued some serious injuries that have since followed me.
So you were more bringing on than Britney Spears is.
Yeah.
Baby. What's the name of that song?
I don't know.
Baby.
I think it's hilarious that you're referencing Britney Spears, though.
I was just trying to compare the two different versions of cheerleading, okay? Just trying to give you some credit. I bit my tongue when you called it a sport earlier, so proceed.
Wow.
There we go.
It is absolutely a sport. I'm pretty sure definition-wise it's a sport now.
Okay, let's go.
Don't give me that.
Let's keep going.
We tracked it. We had more injuries than the freaking football team.
I don't think injuries counts as sports.
It does when you're throwing bodies in the air and catching them.
All right, let's proceed.
So I got a lot of injuries.
You were a top-tier athlete.
Cheerleader. I don't know if it was a top-tier. But yes, I was a base, so I was the person that picked people up because I am more muscular. I am not a flyer. But I ended up getting nerve damage. I got a bunch of injuries, but I ended up getting a nerve damage that has since progressed like throughout my whole life. And that was a limiting one. I avoided getting into major sports in college because my body was so broken. Horrible, but I really enjoyed the intensity of physical workouts. Mm-hmm. So from the point where I did this silly joke of trying out for cheerleading, I found that I loved like intense, you know, knock you down kind of workouts and training, like gymnastics, dance. Like these are exhausting kinds of activities, and I loved them. Mm-hmm. So through college, I continued to kind of try a bunch of different workouts. My dad taught me boxing and just self-defense at a young age. I remember getting super into Tae Bo in college or high school. I think
you still have some of the DVDs.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do some of those great, great moves, I'm sure, if I had to try. But I struggled. I didn't struggle, like, super bad with my weight, but I've always been a body type that if I didn't use it, I would lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't mean, like, I would, you know, gain, like, a ton of weight, but I would lose my muscle tone, which I found is very much a defining characteristic. And I felt weaker and just, I just didn't feel great when I didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I probably went through, in college in my early 20s, I would say I may have gone through a bit of like a workout addiction phase where I was maybe too focused on it. You know, I've started reading like stories about this, and I think if you're a person who, especially if you have a substantial body type, you know, you do need to work out to keep everything yeah. tight and together, you probably face this at some point in your life where you're going to push yourself too hard. And there were years and years of this that I did this, where I constantly was, I mean, 6-7 days a week working out. And not just for like 5 or 10 minutes, like an hour or more. There were some days I did more than one workout a day. So I actually realized around that time frame that I wanted to learn more about like the science behind it and learn more about the training. And I actually, in my 20s, like my mid-20s, I had bought the package to get my NASM certification as a personal trainer, because since I was doing so much of this training myself, for myself, I also had this knowledge I had gathered, and I started sharing it with friends, and I trained my friend Lindsay, actually, for her wedding.
Whoa. What a coincidence.
I know. What do you know? I trained her, and it's really great kind of like feedback, just hearing people say like, oh, Lindsay, you look so great. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, what are you doing? And she was like, it's my friend, my trainer. It's like, this is really cool. Like, I could totally see myself doing this. My mom had gone into, you know, had become an acupuncturist when I was like 12. And like, I'd always been involved and aware of the health world. But like around my mid-20s was where I really got interested in it,
mm-hmm.
in more than just what I saw as the everyday. So I'd been practicing yoga since I was 12. My mom introduced it to me purely as like a coping mechanism. Like,
that's what I was gonna want. I wanted to ask you too, because I know obviously yoga is a big part of your life and when it got introduced. So.
Yeah, I was 12 years old. It was right around the time that my parents split up,
mm-hmm.
and as probably is not the norm, I was really happy. I felt like my parents were much better apart. And it was still a difficult time, though. I mean, I think, you know, any kind of huge change like that is challenging, especially when you're a kid. And my mom said, like, she's like, you just needed something. You needed something to, like, ground you. And it was something we could do together, but it was physical, which she knew I would connect with. But yoga wasn't what it is today. Like, it was still kind of like, I remember practicing, I think it was in like a school gymnasium, like after, like at 7 o'clock at night. And it was only held like once a week at this place.
Mm-hmm.
There were not a lot of studios. This wasn't something that you could just subscribe on your internet and just have them delivered. Like, yoga was, you had to go to someone else to teach it to you. Or you took, I think my mom had like audio tapes.
Nice.
Which I didn't really get. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it, and I would go to those classes, and it was always a part of my life. Like, I looked at it more as, like, a restorative thing, though. I never really got into, like, the Ashtanga yoga at a young age. I think if I did, if I'd become aware of it then, and I'm talking, like, the handstands okay. And all of the really almost, like, acrobatic-looking yoga poses that you see all over Instagram mm-hmm. nowadays. I feel like if I'd been introduced to that back then, I probably would have been more, like, made it more of a focus.
Yeah.
But for me, it was something my mom really taught me to use as, like, a teach you how to control your breath, control your emotions, to be mindful. I mean, she didn't say, like, mindful, but it was basically a way to calm myself, to find, like, how I felt, and to find, like, that inner peace. Mm-hmm. Because I was just this kid with a lot of energy and emotions and stuff. I didn't know what to do with them. And I internalized a lot of it. So I needed an outlet. It's the best thing she could have done for me.
Yeah.
Since yeah, then,
see it's, where it's taken us so far, taken you so far.
Yeah, it's always been a part of my life. When I was, like, heavy into my fitness, like, constant working out, I would do yoga for, like, an hour to an hour and a half in addition to my workouts. Mm-hmm. And it would be like that. I would think of that as, like, my active recovery.
Right.
Even if it was more advanced poses.
Yeah.
But it made me feel so good. And I thought about getting my teacher training, but it wasn't as mainstream and available and flexible as it is nowadays. So I didn't.
Right.
And I kind of sort of regret that I didn't pursue that earlier. But I always kept it a major part of my life.
So, yeah, so obviously doing yoga up all those years, and then you get into your mid-20s, you got the training, you did a little personal training for Lindsay, and you were going to do NASM, and then from that point, where did you go from there, the fitness story?
Well, then my entire life kind of took a hard right, mm-hmm. and the Great Recession hit. Mm-hmm. of 2008, and just a lot of things in my life happened all at once. So all of a sudden my work went through like 5 rounds of layoffs. I somehow survived, but it was like massive survivor's guilt. I was super paranoid I was going to get laid off mm-hmm. any day. I was miserable. I had just broken up, like, my first ever serious relationship. I had just broken up, and was coming out of that. It was, like, winter. I mean, it was just all these things. I decided to move. I decided to get a job. I moved to Florida. I mean, like, as many
back
things that
back
I could
to
change. Yeah. And I had friends, I had family, but there was just a part of me that said I needed to go my own way, and I needed to do it on my own. And that's where everything kind of got derailed, because it was mostly then just about, you know, surviving, which I had done before, but like not having any roommates. It had been a few years since I had completely lived alone. Mm-hmm. And not having a huge support system around me all the time was a huge change for me. So that sort of derailed my personal training learning mm-hmm. And certification. You know, the time period where I had to take my test came and went. Mm-hmm. And I was still trying to figure out, like, okay, where am I going to live? And, that was a big change. But I did still get back into a fitness routine. It right. was just a little bit less extreme. And then I got introduced, once we got back together, I got introduced – to triathlon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which was a totally new world for me. I think I had done like a handful of 5Ks, but I'd never been a runner.
Yeah.
And I hadn't, I had tried spinning. I'd gotten really into spinning when I was up in Massachusetts, but I hadn't really biked, like cycled outside in a really long time. So the triathlon really provided some like discipline and a whole learning of that, which I really appreciated. Thanks, hon.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I didn't go quite, like, I did one sprint triathlon. Yeah. I'm just going to clarify. I did not get into triathlons.
Yeah.
I got introduced to the world of triathlon, saw, holy cow, these people are intense. I mean, like, people were doing a sprint triathlon that, I was busting my ass for. And these people were doing the sprint triathlon as like a weekend breather.
Yeah.
Like this is what they did between their Ironmans.
Yeah, that was,
and I was
training
like,
for them,
are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. That was, I realized, probably not my cup of tea, but it definitely, it was a very good learning experience. And if nobody's ever trained for, like, even just a sprint triathlon, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
And it really is, like, it does take time and dedication. You have to be able to carve out some time to train. But it was awesome.
Yeah. That's the one thing I do. I miss those, too. But like you said, it's... when I trained for my Olympic triathlon, I was training a lot. You know, I didn't have any clients at that time. That was just work and then come home and train either in the pool or on the bike, you know, and then run, do long runs on the weekends and stuff. So it's definitely a time-consuming hobby.
Yeah, so, it is.
So, yeah, so that's, I mean, that's, I know we talk about a lot. You're in this, it really into spinning. So your love, you have that, and then you obviously yoga is a passion. It's much more than just a a physical activity that you do. You're much more in depth in it.
Yeah.
You're much more.
I have tried
integrated.
I would say, like, through my various fitness levels, and I've tried almost everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I did CrossFit for a while there.
Pure Barre.
I've done Pure Barre. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. Like, I give everything a good shot, like, yep, a good go. But the things that I keep coming back to, and I would recommend anybody who's, like, still kind of feeling like they don't know what their go-tos are, to just keep trying stuff.
Yeah.
Because I really do. I feel like I tried everything. I mean, I started out, like, in high school, I was kickboxing and doing that. And then I went, somehow found, like, spinning when I was in my 20s. And then yoga's been with me since I was 12. I mean, these are not, it wasn't all at one time in my life. This is just trial and error. I found the things I clicked with.
Yeah, so I think overall, you know, looking at your story and then hearing your story, overall is that you have many kind of passions. But you are open to all type of facets of exercise. You know,
yeah,
you're not opposed to anyone. Obviously, you find which ones will kind of work better for you, but you're also apt to trying new ones. I think that's why, you know, the stick one, when I bring my sticks home, and I'm sure that's one thing you're going to do.
Sounds naughty when I bring my sticks home.
How dare you? It's a family show. But I know you're going to I'll be happy to show you those. Never mind. I could have taken it down a weird path.
See?
Sorry.
See?
Nah, that's, come on. We'll edit that in post.
No, but you know what? Like, I bet there's going to be a lot of things that we can learn from each other. You know, certain, like, yoga alignment cues that I can share with you.
Yeah.
And then some of the more, like, stick mobility exercises and things, I think, to learn from you.
And I think kind of with
create a hybrid.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And I think your story kind of highlights, I think, of a sustainable program. It's evolved over time to find out what's most important. And, you know, obviously people are in our situation. It's going to be different for everybody depending on your situation. But like you said, having the mobility worked in focusing on that, especially for our current fitness goals, that's super important to us. You know, sometimes, depending on who it is, somebody might be looking for strength gain or muscle gain right now. But it's kind of, we talk about what's the best type of exercise, and it's the exercise you'll do the most consistently and safely.
Yeah, so, and it's not, I think if I had one kind of main takeaway from my story, I don't have like a super great story as far as Nick that, you know, here I was here and then I did, you know, this martial arts and got this amazing training and I can kick a man in his face and half kill him or something. I don't have the great like,
I think that's on my business
card. Clear path that I feel like you have. I feel like mine has really been a story of there is no one way to approach health and fitness. Mm-hmm. It's really just continuously being open to trying new things. And I mean, I was vegan for a year. Mm-hmm. I was a vegetarian for 2 or 3 years. After that, we've tried all the main diets except keto, I think.
You're afraid. Don't be afraid.
I'm not doing that. I've gone without bread and cheese for long enough in my life. But you know, it was all learning.
Right.
You know, and it was all a path to just continuously trying different things. And as I'm telling you today in my training recap, the last 8 months of my life, well, probably more like a year, right, I have not been like I was. I've not been as active. I didn't do as high intensity workouts. I embraced these last months that softer side of my body and what my body could be. And I was thrilled with that. For the first time in my life, I was like, my body's freaking amazing. No one's going to tell me different. I don't care if I have, you know, a little bit softer edges right now. Now that I can't, like, keep up with my daughter, it's a different story. And, like, a whole new demand of reasons that I need to get into physical shape.
Right.
But that's what life is.
Right. I think that's a great point to kind of,
wrap
the closing
it up
remarks
with.
Of your statement, of your journey, your fitness journey, is that you have to be flexible. And I know we've said that it's not just, I don't mean that literally. You have to be able to adapt your fitness program for where you're at in your life. Where you at in your life.
You go for that.
Yeah. But your fitness program when you're 20 is not going to work when you're 40. You may want it to. And you may be able to manipulate it to where you can do some of the same things, but you have to add in other things because your body changes constantly and your life changes
constantly.
It's an
evolution. Yeah. It's a constant evolution.
Right. So if you don't evolve with your body, with the times, you're going to either most likely get injured.
Yep.
And then usually injury leads to a lot of people kind of abandoning their exercise programs.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to evolve with the time and with your life.
And I still have my nerve damage. It still is an absolute biatch of an injury to have because it traveled from my wrist to my elbow to my shoulder and my neck.
Mm-hmm.
But I have over the years learned how to manage it,
mm-hmm.
which you also learn. You know, you learn to work not just around your injuries, you learn how to work with them.
Right.
You learn the difference between abandoning a movement and embracing a movement that's going to actually help your injury. Because an injury is really just a situation of your body. It's not like, oh, I've got an injury. It's really just, that's your body now. You know, it's like you just have to know the difference between the injuries that will get better, the injuries that you might have for a while, and how you move with them.
Right. No, it's true.
That could be a whole other conversation.
Yes, that's right. Injury prevention or injury management. That's definitely a topic for the podcast. All right. We'll get that to in a future podcast. If you guys want to listen to any of the pad podcasts, it is too late.
Any of the past. He had some wine, folks. I'm just going to throw that out there.
If you want to listen to any of the past podcasts, you guys can go to the addictedtofitnesspodcast.com website. Our podcasts are up there. Also, like we mentioned, go to iTunes, give us that rating review. And do one more thing for us. Visit hempcoffeeexchange.com. Jeremy and Brett are awesome, awesome sponsors that really support the podcast at every turn. They actually got a brick and mortar store here in Tampa, and they every time I go in there, they point me out and say, talk about the Addicted to Fitness podcast. So we're trying to get a figure out a time where we can go up there and podcast with them again, get them back on the show.
I miss them.
So yes, hempcoffeeexchange.com. Read about their awesome products. Use our exclusive promo code ATF to get 20% off. And visit the exchange portion of their website. There's some more goodies on there that you guys can purchase. All right. So I think that's all we have for this week's episode.
Yes.
Good?
I am good.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast.
This is a new show called a podcast.
The cat show. I had to do it. Anyways, five. But don't.